Chicago. All this is yours? Jordan asked. That it is, said Thornberry with a happy smile. That it is. They had just stepped out of the elevator that had carried them to the 50th floor of a downtown Chicago office building. Jordan saw that Thornberry Enterprises Limited took up the entire floor, from one sweeping window wall to the other opposite. The area was open, no partitions between the desks and workstations, and plenty of space between them. Men and women were sitting at individual stations or clustered in little groups around circular conference tables. A few were standing beside a row of food and drink dispensing machines, chatting pleasantly. It's quiet, Jordan remarked. Ah, that's the acoustic oscillators doing. Damps down the sounds of conversations, you know. And we use low-power energy screens instead of walls and partitions. Well, that's better, don't you think? He started to lead Jordan across the wide room, nodding and greeting his employees more like a friendly paterfamilias than a corporate boss. No one paid any special attention to Jordan. They all seemed relaxed, cheerful. Jordan felt pleased with the informality, the lack of hierarchy. Then he noticed a row of bigger, more imposing desks along the far wall, next to a broad window that looked out on Lake Michigan. Leading him toward one of the unoccupied desks, Thornberry said, "Officer Country," pointing, "That's my desk, there." Jordan felt a brief tingle as they came up to his desk, and all the buzzing hum of conversations cut off. Energy screens instead of walls, he realized. Quite effective. I suppose Mitch could make the screens go opaque if he wanted to.
This is where I do me deep thinking, said Thornberry.
Instead of sitting behind the desk, he plopped himself in one of the softly yielding upholstered chairs arranged in front of it. Jordan sat next to him. Very impressive, Mitch, he said.
"'Tis rather grand, isn't it?" Thornberry said, grinning happily. Waving toward his employees on the other side of the energy screen, he said, "They do the work, and I rake in the profits. Capitalism at its best."
Jordan laughed with him. Then he asked, "Which group is working on your propulsion ideas? I'd like to talk with them."
"Ah, that'd be the physicists. They're not here. I've got them in their own location where they can argue and quarrel with each other without bothering anyone.
And do experiments without endangering anyone but themselves."
That, too, said Thornberry.
His smile fading, he said,
I wish Aditi could give them an education in physics the way she did me. An hour or so in her teaching machine, and I learned centuries worth of physics just like that.
He snapped his fingers.
Maybe we can build such teaching machines here, Jordan said. Not before I get a patent for them.
The rich get richer.
Money buys power, Jordan, me lad. And power is what you need to fight against Halleck and her World Council.
I don't want to fight against her, Jordan insisted. I just want to be with Aditi, and to start them to prepare for the death wave. Thornberry's usual little smile vanished. Very seriously, he asked,
You'll be willing to give Halleck the FTL communications technology?
Certainly. Thornberry drummed his fingertips against his thigh for a moment. Then,
I wonder if she'll be satisfied with that.
Jordan understood. Give her an inch and she'll want a mile. I shouldn't be surprised.
So, we should offer the communications technology to the full council, not to her alone.
That might help. And only after Aditi is back with me. Thornberry nodded.
She'll probably want your promise not to go to the news media again.
But, Mitch, I've got to let the people... The phone console on Thornberry's desk interrupted.
Incoming call from Chairwoman Halleck, sir.
Jordan felt a pang of alarm. Does she know I'm here? Does she have Mitch's offices bugged? Then a new fear struck him. Has Mitch betrayed me?
Audio only, Thornberry said, his tone dark, hard.
Anita Halleck's three-dimensional image took form between Thornberry's desk and the window, solid and completely realistic. She appeared to be sitting in her own office in Barcelona.
Mr. Thornberry, she said almost pleasantly, is there something wrong with your video?
We're working on it, Thornberry replied in a flat, almost dismissive tone.
I see, Halleck said. Jordan hoped that she didn't. In a somewhat lighter manner, Thornberry asked,
To what do I owe the honor of your call, Madam Chairwoman?
Her dark eyes narrowing slightly, Halleck said. We're trying to locate Jordan Kell. He left the hotel we had him quartered in, and poof, he disappeared.
Really?
We don't know where he is, and naturally we are concerned for his safety.
Naturally.
Has he contacted you?
Thornberry glanced at Jordan, then replied, He hasn't called me. Not at all.
Halleck frowned slightly.
I see. Well, if he does, please tell him that we're terribly concerned about him. We wouldn't want anything to happen to him.
Of course not, Thornberry said. Then, with a crooked little grin, he asked, And Mrs. Kell? I presume she's with him?
No, she's here, in Barcelona. She's quite safe.
That means they've got her in their hands, Jordan thought.
Well now, said Thornberry, if Jordan calls me, I'll be sure to tell him that you're worried about him.
You do that, said Halleck, and her image disappeared. Thornberry scowled at the empty air. Turning to Jordan, he growled,
She'll have her security goons crawling over this place before another hour passes. We've got to get you to somewhere safe.
Nodding, Jordan said, Yes, but where?